So this morning I want to start with a question, and the question is, have you, any of you, had an experience where you think maybe God is leading you into something uncomfortable? Or potentially leading you into something which feels downright dangerous? I've been reading this week about the work of an organization called International Justice Mission. Some of you know that group. It's a Christian organization which, amongst other things, sends lawyers and agents and social workers into some of the most dangerous parts of the world to bring out kids and women and men who are stuck in trafficking situations, often sex trafficking. And they're really dangerous situations, and I get their Facebook feed and read about the situations they've been in and what they've faced. And I realize their lives are called by God to be on the line often. Their lives sound to me a lot like James Bond for Jesus, except maybe without all the drinking and debauchery. And it's exciting stuff, but it's dangerous stuff. Now, my life doesn't look like that generally every week. But sometimes I realize God calls me and maybe you into uncomfortable situations on a much smaller scale. Maybe God asks you or I to go and meet with someone, a friend or a colleague, for a difficult conversation. Or maybe God says, come to this family gathering, and you know it's going to be awkward or uncomfortable or painful in some way. Or God says to you, I want you to go into this meeting in your workplace, and I want you to speak up for this issue, and you know it's going to be unpopular with your colleagues. Sometimes it may be letting your children experience difficult situations. And God is saying to you, to me as a parent, no, don't swoop in and rescue them. Let them experience what they're going through. I've been through that over the last few weeks as my kids have started school and my youngest starts middle school. It's excruciating to watch as a parent at times. And sometimes when God calls us into things that are difficult, it can just look really difficult but very quiet. Nothing big to show the world, but you are suffering on the inside. I think back to my own experience of going through my mother's sickness and death from cancer a couple of years ago, and the grief that we experienced after that. And that's hard stuff. And I know that some of you are going through similar situations this morning. And there's no way around it. God just calls you straight into the middle of it. And it feels difficult. Today in the scripture, we're going to be looking at a time where Jesus did call his followers right into the middle of something really difficult. And as we look at that, I want to give you an invitation. I want to invite you to consider, how might God be speaking to you about your life today through this story? Whether you're currently in the middle of something really difficult or not, whether you're currently identifying yourself as a Christian or not, what might God be saying to you through this story in the Bible this morning? I want to jump right into the story. And if you want to look in your Bible, it's in Matthew 14, but it's also in the front page of your program. It starts immediately. Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side of this big piece of water they were by the side of, to the other side while Jesus dismissed the crowds. And after Jesus had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. So the first thing that really struck me when I read this passage this week is that Jesus sends these men, these friends of his, directly and intentionally into a very difficult situation. In verse 22, we read that Jesus made the disciples get in the boat. And if you look back at the original language this was written in, the word made actually really just, it means compelled them into the boat. Jesus gave them a definite direction. He definitely was sending them into this particular situation on this particular night. And to me, that becomes a little odd when I read later in the scripture, Jesus was up having this great prayer time on the mountain alone, and it's awesome, while his friends, who he made get into this little boat and sail across the sea at night, are caught in the middle of a raging storm. And the Greek here paints a very vivid picture. The words say the boat was being tortured by the waves. This little boat was being tortured and tormented by the storm. And it was way far out from land where it would be safe. And the wind, which was strong, was directly opposed to where they were trying to get to. This is one huge storm. And Jesus sent these men right into the middle of it. Now, it strikes me as I read stories about Jesus and his life and how he led people, this is not an uncommon situation. Jesus often led his followers and sent them straight into situations that were not simple and sometimes really dangerous. And this is one of those times. Sometimes it's true that God takes us into situations, into places in our lives that are not safe. And if we as Christians are looking for a life that is simple and pain-free and trying to avoid suffering, we are going to be disappointed in Jesus. And maybe you yourself are here this morning and you are either in the middle of something really tricky or difficult, or you're looking back on your life and you've experienced pain and stress. And you're asking questions like, why is this happening to me? And where is God in the middle of this? And what is the point of what I'm going through? Now, if you're in that situation this morning, you are in good company. You're in the same boat, as the disciples. And you are feeling what they must have felt that night. Let's read on. Matthew 14:25. They're in the midst of this storm in this boat. And we read, early in the morning, Jesus came walking towards them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So the picture is we got this terrible storm brewing up, and the disciples see this ghostly figure moving towards them across the sea. All they're seeing through the rolling waves and the terrible storm and rain is some kind of ghoul making its way towards their boat. And they freak out. And that's understandable. That night, the disciples were in danger of losing their lives. And everything around them felt dangerous. And so they started seeing everything in their world through a lens of fear. And it was fair enough. They were in a frightening situation. And as I reflect on this, I think that often in life, and especially when we get into difficult, painful, tiring situations, we start to see our whole world through a lens of fear, a lens that amplifies the frightening aspects of what we're seeing. I think back over my own week, this last week and the week before, each of my three children experienced significant stress starting school. Two of our children were sick, then I got it, and then I got better, and then I had a migraine. And I felt like, and it's nothing to what these disciples were in, but I felt like I am in the middle of of a little storm. And before long, I was saying things like, where is God and why is he not helping me? And then by the end of the week, I thought, this is never going to get any better. And so I saw in myself this progression from I'm in the midst of something difficult to where is God to this is going to go on forever. And I know that when life brings storms to us, maybe it's something like moving house, which is incredibly stressful, or maybe it's a deadline at work and you are under a lot of pressure, or maybe your water heater bursts as you're trying to leave for work in the morning. Whatever it is, it's amazing how quickly we put on the lens of stress and fear, and the whole of our lives turn a subtle shade of frightening. And that's only the little storms. Some of us are facing the pain of a spouse who's left us, or someone has died and we're grieving, or someone is sick, or we've lost a job, or we've heard some bad news. These storms are real, and it's really not very helpful to try and pretend they're not raging around us. That is not wisdom, to pretend. That's denial. But it's easy when those storms are raging or blowing to see everything, including God, through this lens of fear. That means we don't always see God moving towards us because we think he's not with us, or we forget to look for him, or we don't recognize him for who he is. Question for you this morning is, are you actually living your life looking through some lens of fear and anxiety and stress, and you're not seeing the presence of God with you because of that? That night, the disciples, maybe like you and I, were in the midst of a storm, and they did not recognize that Jesus was coming to see them until he spoke. Until he said to them, my friends, don't worry. Take heart. I am with you. Now, I can only imagine what those guys must have felt at that point. You know, some were feeling disbelief, saying, are we hallucinating now? Right? Some were angry. Like, Jesus, why haven't you done something instead of floating about out there on the water? Some probably felt relief. Right now, Jesus is here. It's all going to go away. It's going to be okay. And then Peter, this particular disciple and follower of Jesus, speaks up. And he calls out, Jesus, is it really you? Is it you that we're seeing and hearing? If it's you, I know that whatever you tell me to do, I can do. But I have to know that it's really you. I know that particular prayer really well. How many times have you sat in the midst of something really confusing or difficult, and you prayed something like, okay, God, if you just speak, and if I know it's you speaking, I will do whatever you tell me to do. But I have to know it's you. Now, God, is when you write on my living room wall. Right? Now, God, is where you send someone to my door with a message for me that can only be from you. I just need to know it's you. God knows that prayer really well, and it's a good one to pray. But though it's a good prayer to pray, I found that the answer to that prayer is not always what I want. When I pray, God, should I move to America and live there? God didn't say, yes, move to Palo Alto on June the 15th and look for a greenhouse with a red door and knock on it. Now, when I ask God to show me he's really there and it's really him, I get an answer that sounds a lot like the answer Peter got, which is, come to me. Move towards me. Be with me, Liz. That is your answer. I remember once in my early years of being in America, I was actually asking God, okay, is it time to move back to the UK? God, I need you to tell me what to do. There's a lot of money at stake. There's a lot of time at stake. There's a lot of career decisions at stake. I just need to know what you want me to do, and I will do it as long as I know you're speaking to me. And I got no answer sitting in my living room other than, okay, Liz, why don't you put on some music and worship me and pray and just be in my presence? Which I did that morning, sitting in my living room, and I still got no particular answer about whether to move back. But I did experience the presence of God and the peace of God. And what I felt like he said to me that morning is something that has stuck with me through all the subsequent questions I've asked him, which is, Liz, you are looking for the security of a particular answer to your particular question. And the security I want to give you is that wherever you go, you will be right there beside me. Sometimes God's answer to us in the moments of a crisis or a decision or a stress that we're facing is simply, come on out and be with me. And in those moments, we and you and Peter faced a moment of a decision, right? Do I go to Jesus? Or do I stay in my boat where it feels a little safer right now? Often when I've imagined Peter and Jesus in this situation, in my mind's eye, I imagine Jesus hovering over a calm sea. And it's light. And it's pretty. And Jesus says, come, and stretches out his arm. And Peter leaps gracefully out of the boat, like some kind of skating duo. They meet in the middle of the sea and are really happy. But the text paints a very different picture to that. It's not a calm sea. The waves are 6, 8, 10 feet high, and the wind is against them and it's blowing hard. And the storm is worse than many they've known, and these are experienced sailors on that sea. So things are loud. The waves are crashing and breaking. The wind is howling. It's raining. And it's dark. It's so dark that you can't see more than a few feet ahead of you. They had no flashlights. Maybe they had a flaming torch on their boat, but it was raining. I suspect it had gone out. So the boat is all over the place. It's dark. It's loud. They're being tossed from side to side. So what's more likely is that Peter is clinging to the side of this boat and shouting out to Jesus, is it you? Is it really you? I have to know. And Jesus shouts back out of the darkness, come on. Come to me. It's not what I would have expected Jesus to say at that moment, and maybe not what the disciples were expecting. A few short chapters before this, Matthew tells a story that's very similar. The disciples were in another boat in the same sea. This time Jesus was with them, and the storm builds up at night, and they are afraid. So they wake Jesus up and say, do something, and he wakes up and he stops the storm right away. That was a few chapters ago. If I were Peter and the disciples, I'd be looking for a replay of that. That would be awesome, and they knew Jesus could do it because they'd just seen it happen. But this time, that's not what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't stop the storm. He invites Peter deeper into the storm. To see that with Jesus, when the storm is blowing, We don't have to be overwhelmed. Jesus says to Peter, the disciples effectively, the storms are not going to kill you while I'm with you. He's not saying, I'm going to make them go away. And furthermore, this time, Jesus not only says the storms will not destroy you, he says, come on into them deeper. Step out of that boat. Often God says, come and be with me and do what I'm doing in the midst of this horrible storm and situation you're in. We want comfort and we want it all to go away. And Jesus says, no, come be with me and do what I'm doing in the middle of this, and you'll experience something much greater. You know, storms are bad enough when you're sitting in a boat. They're no fun. But they're really terrifying when there is no boat and it's just you and God. I wonder what staying in a boat would look like for you and me today. Some of the things that come to mind for me in my own life, I think, of planning for retirement or sending my children to college. And I start to think of my money and my bank account like a little boat that I can sit and float in, and it will be just about okay, probably. I think about how I can feel convicted, as I recently did with a friend, that something was wrong between us. And I needed to go and talk to her about it. But I didn't want to rock the boat. So I was tempted to say nothing and avoid the issue and sail away and come back to it another time. Or maybe it's that God is asking you or me to do something, to take a step of faith, but rather than do it, we delay because God, I have to finish this other really important thing first. I remembered while I was writing this the story of a young man I knew who felt really challenged to pursue God and find out more about Jesus. Really challenged. But basically he said to God, God, I'm in the middle of establishing my career as a lawyer. And I need to establish that first, and it's taking everything I've got. I will come back to this. But he never came back to that because he died in a tragic accident in the midst of his young years. And it was tragic because he spent his formative years building something which couldn't last, and he missed building something which could last forever. There are so many ways that we are drawn to safety or what we think is going to keep us safe, and we miss stepping out to be with Jesus. In the midst of the storms that blow up in our lives, we have choices to stay or to step out. Peter chose to get out. Matthew 14:29, Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came towards Jesus. But when Peter noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. So Peter chooses to risk stepping out of the comfort of his little boat, to be in the middle of the storm, deeper in the middle of the storm, and be with Jesus and do what Jesus is doing. And for a few minutes, he gets to experience something that very few of us, I suspect, ever will get to experience. He has a supernatural experience of walking on water. Now, let's face it, this is really weird. But this is the kind of God we have. He does weird things. And the strangest thing to me is that we get to do these weird things if we move towards Jesus when he calls us. If we step out in faith and we draw closer to him and we keep our focus on Jesus, not on the cool trick or the supernatural gimmick that we think's going to happen, if we keep our focus on Jesus, we get to do what he's doing and be with him where he is, even when everything around us seems like it might fall apart. Now, of course, the story doesn't end with Peter victoriously walking on water for the next hour, because Peter, like most of us would be, gets distracted by the raging storm that is still going around them. And he turns his eyes off of Jesus and he looks at the storm and he begins to sink. Now, what does this tell me? This tells me that it was his focus on Jesus and that alone that was keeping him from sinking. Jesus has not changed. The storm has not got worse that we know of. The situation has not changed. The only thing that has changed is that now Peter is not looking at Jesus. And that's when he starts to sink. There are so many ways we take our eyes off of Jesus, especially in the middle of storms. Maybe we feel like help is not coming as quickly as we need it to come. So we start to look for help somewhere else. Or maybe we feel like the intensity of what we're experiencing, the conflict, the stress, the pain, the sickness, is building up to the point that we are not able to withstand it anymore. So we need a backup plan. And we head towards that backup plan. I remember when my mother was dying of cancer a couple of years ago. It felt to her, and she was right, this storm is raging everywhere I go. Cancer is one of those storms, right, none of us want to get into. And there were times she was tempted to really despair. The side effects of the drugs, the tiredness, the pain, the forgetfulness of who people were, the unfairness of why it was happening to her. And added into that mix, for her, was that my brother and I both live in continents that are not Europe. I'm in America, he's in South Africa. That complicates things when you're dying and you want to be with family. And I remember the last time I ever got to see her, I sat down beside her bed, it was just me and her, and I said to you before I go tomorrow, is there anything you want to talk to me about? And she started crying, and she said, it's just so hard that you moved across the Atlantic, and it's so hard that David is in South Africa, and can't you see I'm dying? And it was a straw that was threatening just to break her back, to make her turn her attention from Jesus away to the fact that her children were not even living in the same continent as her. And for her, the fact that I was leaving the next day to fly back here, that was it. That was like, this storm is too much. I cannot do it. And as we talked, she got very upset. And I was able to say to her something that I've hardly ever been able to ask her, which is, can we pray together before I go? And she said, yes. And so we prayed for Jesus to be close to her when I could not be. And we prayed for Jesus to take some of the sadness she was feeling and help her remember that she was going to be with him and he would never leave her. In effect, that prayer was basically focusing her back on Jesus and not on the cancer and the storm and the pain of being separated. She, in effect, did what Peter was doing. She called out, Lord, save me. And Jesus did. And now she's with him, never to be parted. Peter cried out, God, save me. I've lost my focus. I'm going to drown. Matthew 14:31. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught Peter, saying to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And they got back into the boat and the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped Jesus, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Peter cried out to Jesus. And there's an immediate response from Jesus. He catches Peter, and he catches him before Peter sinks, and he speaks to him. Again, as I think about, in my mind's eye, how I imagine this scene and this situation, I realize I've often assumed that Jesus is really frustrated here. Right? Jesus is annoyed and irritated. He's like, you have little faith. For goodness sake, why did you doubt? I don't know where that voice in my mind is coming from, but I don't think it's God's. Because as I've been reflecting this week on this passage, I remember a time when I was swimming with my own 5-year-old daughter in a lake in Northern California. And I turned around for a moment and I turned back, and there was her head just going down under the water. And I instinctively reached out my hand and I pulled her out, and she was coughing and like vomiting stuff and sobbing. And she was sobbing, and when she started talking, she said, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, you're sorry that you almost drowned? Don't be silly. I love you. I would not let you drown when I'm beside you. As I think about it, that is what I hear in Jesus' voice. Why would you ever doubt? Why would you ever doubt that I will let you sink and drown? Of course I wouldn't. Don't have such little faith in me. The end of the story shows us the result of stepping out in faith, of taking a risk. And the end of the story is always that we have a much deeper experience of Jesus than we had before we did it. All of the disciples that night, and especially Peter, now know that Jesus is always watching and will always come for them and will always catch them, even when things get really, really bad. And the end of that evening is that they worship him, because they know more deeply and more profoundly who he really is. My experience has been, when all is said and done, when I've taken a risk, when I've stepped out of what feels comfortable, one of my little boats, whether the walking on water actually happens or not, right? Whether the venture I think I'm on and the big campaign I'm on succeeds or not, the result of stepping out is always that I get to experience God at a deeper level, and I get to worship him for who he is as a result. Now, today you may be sitting here and you may never have taken a step towards Jesus before. And your invitation from God, I believe today, is try it and see what happens. I will not let you fall. You might be here this morning and you've taken lots of steps through your life. You're in the same position Peter was. This was not the first time Peter had taken a risk for Jesus. And it was not going to be the last. And some of Peter's crazy schemes worked, and some of them really didn't. But what we find, and if you go back to the gospel and read it, what happened every time that Peter took a risk and moved towards Jesus, he got to experience much deeper relationship with Jesus as a result. And that's your invitation. If you're in this and you've been in it for years and you're tired and you've been hurt and you're weary and you're stressed, don't stay in the boat because of that. Don't stay. God's invitation, and it's for you today, is to say yes and to step out and to experience doing what God is doing and know that He will catch you if you start to fall. And our response to Him is worship.